Good morning and welcome to Storylines. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Our guest today is author, poet, playwright, Kevin Craig. Kevin, welcome to Storylines.
Thank you. Good morning.
And listeners, we really have a treat for you this morning. So, Kevin, we met at the Muskoka Novel Marathon, and then a couple of months ago, you posted a link on your Facebook page to a short play you've written called The Speech. And I followed that link and read this little gem of a radio play and absolutely loved it. So straight away, I sent you a message asking if you'd come on Storylines and if we could read your play live and share more about your work and your thoughts on the writing life. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm actually really excited about reading the play live.
You know, this is a first for Storylines and reading a radio play live. So I hope our listeners will enjoy it. And we may have a few giggles in between. We don't know.
I hope so. It's a comedy.
So giggles would be appropriate.
Yes.
So we're going to read the play, Kevin. But before we do that, I want to mention to our listeners that you have a number of novels published, both young adult and adult fiction, as well as poetry, memoir, and 10 short plays. So let's talk a little about playwriting before we actually read this play. What first drew you to plays as a writing form?
The best part of writing a novel is the dialogue. So I always loved the dialogue the most. So when I saw an opportunity to write a play, I jumped at it because I wanted to write dialogue without the prose in between.
Right. And so was that a short play as well?
Yes, it was a short play. Yeah.
And is that the medium now in terms of plays that you're most comfortable with?
Yes, I've written long plays. I've never had any of them produced yet. But the 10-minute play is pretty thrilling to do.
Yeah, because it's kind of snappy and you get your point across. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're going to have as much fun reading this play as the listeners will have listening to it.
I hope so.
And we're also very fortunate to have in the studio Tobin Elliott. Tobin, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Tobin is going to serve as our narrator for stage directions and all the other little bits that the listeners will need to know so that they can follow the action. Kevin, first let me introduce the subject matter, which is public speaking. I was fascinated with this play because we have mentioned this fear of public speaking several times on Storylines as I've talked to our various guests. And it is such a common terror that we share, this fear of public speaking. And as authors, we need to conquer that because if we're going to go out on the road and do readings and sell our books and sell ourselves, we need to get past that stage fright. So I wonder, is it something you needed to conquer yourself and that's where this play came from?
I am absolutely terrified of public speaking. I've come a long way since I've been writing and being interviewed, but my very first time being interviewed was just horrendous. So that's why I wrote it.
Art came out of your
your
experience of terror.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a bit of a setup now, Kevin, for this play before we get into the reading.
Okay, so it takes place on a stage, which is the public speaker's biggest enemy. Karen has to give a speech and she is not ready to speak in public. She's terrified and she's going through the process of that terror.
And practicing.
And practicing, yes.
With her friend?
Preparing herself with her friend Matthew.
So Matthew's trying to coach her through this and Karen's trying to take direction from Matthew so that she
That's right. And she's kind of a pushy person herself, so she's not taking direction very well.
And she doesn't mind speaking up, but we're going to hear that. One of the things I love about this play, Kevin, is how succinctly you have given us these characters. Tobin, you're going to lead us in, just setting up what we're seeing if we were actually watching this play on stage.
Okay, so the setting is just prior to the ladies' auxiliary meeting. Karen is at the microphone podium. Matthew is behind the curtain, upstage right.
I'm scared.
Do it.
But I'm scared. I don't want to do it.
Matthew stomps out to the podium.
Do it. Come on. You're not even in front of an audience yet. What are you afraid of?
Bears. People with bad breath. Bank lines. Trampolines. Sunglasses. Fear itself. Yes, yes. I'm afraid of fear. That's what scares me the most. And pancakes. The way they...
I didn't ask what scares you in general. I asked what you're afraid of now. being on stage. There's nobody here. What does it matter? Just do it.
Karen covers the microphone with her hand.
Who are you shushing? The mic isn't even on and nobody else is here. God, Karen, get a grip. You have to do this tonight. We have to practice. Do you want to freeze up here in front of all those people?
Ah, I got it. You can be my audience. You're not helping me up here. Actually, you're making me think of bears and bank lines. Do you think you could go out there? You know, be my audience, my muse.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of.
Please, Matthew.
Whatever. Okay.
Matthew steps off the stage and takes two or three steps away.
Okay, do it.
Not there. Be an audience, Matthew. Spread out.
I'm one person. How do you suggest I do that?
For starters, you can move away from the stage and sit around.
You do realize I can only sit in one chair at a time, don't you?
You're not helping me. Be a crowd.
Again, I am one person.
Please, improvise.
Matthew walks to the back of the room.
Okay, I'll be the lady who stepped out to use the toilet. I'll stand here with my arms folded, angry that I have to wait for you to finish before I can return to my seat. How's this?
Performance anxiety.
What?
I can't make a speech with that woman standing there shooting me daggers. You should see the look on her face.
I can't see it, but I can assure you I can feel it.
Maybe if you were the guy who, you know, had a bit of a crush on me and just sat there thinking you want to ask me out on a date when I'm finished speaking. You know, that guy. Okay, go. Move over there and make a face like you can't wait to take me out for linguine and wine.
There aren't going to be any men in the audience. I think I'll go back behind the curtain now.
Karen stands straight at the podium.
Good evening, ladies. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you.
Oh, that felt good. You know, I always wanted to be an actress. Romeo, Romeo, wear four arms, bow, Romeo.
Matthew walks back to the stage.
Wherefore art thou?
I'm right here, silly.
No, the line. It's wherefore art thou?
You're so cute when you're wrong.
I'm right. I studied Shakespeare in college.
And I studied with Johnson. What does that have to do with the price of apricots in New England?
No, I didn't study with Shakespeare. I studied Shakespeare, the playwright, William Shakespeare.
How lovely. How is this helping me? You're not a terribly good audience, Matthew. So far, you've played an angry woman with toilet paper clinging to her dress and a not very convincing suitor who didn't even get to the part where he pines for me and wants to ask me out on a date.
I'll be behind the curtain. Can you just do it?
Matthew stomps onto the stage and returns behind the curtain.
Please?
You know I'm not good at public speaking. I feel so alone up here.
You are alone.
Thanks. That really helps. The stage just got 10 times bigger now. I'm just going to hyperventilate if you don't mind.
The plan, Karen, was that I would write the speech and you would give it. I did my part. It's your turn.
But I'm afraid of bears.
I'll make sure we have a bouncer at the door. He'll be given specific instructions to turn away all bears. On sight.
I'm sensing sarcasm.
No, really. I'll print out a mugshot of a bear, so there won't be any room for error.
You know what I love about you?
No, but I'm probably going to find out.
That you could be so mean as to use my fears against me. Next, you'll be hauling out a trampoline. You know what those things do to me.
I don't know about that. I kind of get a kick out of them.
All that bouncing. Terrifying. Why they ever invented something that can shoot a human being up into the air like that, I'll never know.
I heard the inventor was someone in a bank lineup who was bored waiting for their turn with the teller. Rumor has it he was wearing sunglasses at the time and eating a pancake.
How could you?
The speech, Karen, the speech. If there was an audience out there right now, heads would be lolling. They would be dying of boredom.
That's just crazy. I'm captivating.
Matthew comes out to the podium.
Would it make you happy if we just, I don't know, did some ad-libbing? Had some fun at the mic?
Romeo, Romeo.
No, no, don't butcher that one again. How about I'm your long-lost brother and you're the millionaire heiress of the man who invented the sticky note?
Impossible.
No, it isn't. We're just ad-libbing. Anything goes.
No, a woman invented the sticky note.
Oh, God, I'm going to die.
You can't die now, brother. You've only just come home.
No, I'm not the brother yet. I mean, I'm going to die of frustration. You're killing me, Karen.
But I'm not Karen. Who is this Karen you speak of? I am Juanita Francisca Albertson III.
We're never going to get this speech out, are we?
What speech do you mean, sweet brother?
Karen goes in to hug Matthew.
Oh, but I have missed you all these long years, dear brother. Papa is 2 years dead now, and poor Mama is in a home for the mentally ill. You've missed so much. Where to begin?
Okay, stop now. I think you're ready. Let's get back to the speech.
But Claudio, you must be so upset. Just now hearing of Papa's passing. I can't imagine how you must feel.
Does murderous ring a bell? Stop now.
How am I ever going to get over my fear of being on a stage if I can't step into a character and act?
You're giving a speech to the Ladies Auxiliary about dangers of sexually transmitted disease in the North American bird population.
You take the glamour out of everything.
There is no glamour in diseases, Karen. If you wanted glamour, you should have been a beautician or an actress.
Does Avon count? My mother sells Avon.
Does it make you feel glamorous?
Not especially, although the bug spray is rather fragrant.
Avon makes bug spray?
Focus, Matthew. You're getting away from the speech.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here I am holding everything back. The guests are due to arrive any minute now, and I've been talking about bug spray this whole time.
Yes, dear. You do have a way of procrastinating.
Do the speech. Now, speak into the mic, enunciate, raise your voice.
Don't get pushy.
Karen walks off the stage, goes to the back of the room, and faces the stage, her arms spread wide.
What are you doing now?
I'm visualizing. All politicians do it.
Get up here.
I'm imagining my speech.
They're coming soon, Karen. You have to do a run-through or you're gonna bomb in front of all those people.
Calm down, Matthew. I'm sure that as long as you keep out the bears, the speech will go off without a hitch.
Do me a favor and show me that you can do it.
Okay, all right, already. Keep your pants on.
They change places. Karen goes to the podium and Matthew goes to the back of the room.
On three. One, two, three.
Karen doesn't say anything. Matthew prompts her with his hands.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say go.
One, two, three.
Karen doesn't say anything. Matthew stomps his feet.
Sorry, so you're not going to say go?
One, two, three, go.
That was too fast. I wasn't ready.
Matthew stomps toward the stage, looking murderous.
Good evening, ladies. Thank you so much for having me here this evening.
End of play.
Kevin, that was too much fun to do with you. Tobin and Kevin, thank you so much. Tobin, thank you for your part as the narrator.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear more from playwright Kevin Craig, whose play, The Speech, you've just heard. Please stay with us.